Thank you, David. Back here on the DDC on this Wednesday morning. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Jack Fraser from EP Ringside at JFresh Hockey on Twitter. Give him a follow. Good follow for sure. Jack, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Well, we obviously have gotten into a lot of the trade the Predators made with the Lightning. We knew Tampa needed to shed payroll. They were at the ceiling. But little did we know Ryan McDonagh would end up being shipped to Nashville. And now that he's here, and we knew that they were looking, that they wanted to address and get another top four defenseman, you do a great job of breaking down analytics and talking about players' production levels and where they are in their career. So now that it's happened, 33-year-old Ryan McDonagh, now a member of the Predators, what do you think?
Well, I think this is the best kind of cap dump, is where, you know, you're not getting a kind of player who can't really play anymore on an overextended contract. What you're getting is a guy who the Lightning couldn't fit into their cap structure who can still really play. You know, anybody who's watched him in the past couple playoff runs will know that even if he's not the guy that he was maybe 10 years ago when he was an elite defenseman holding down a cup-contending team in New York, he's still a great contributor. You know, he's just kind of solid across the board. I don't know if there's anything in his game that I would say stands out as being elite at this point, but he has a great first pass. He's strong defensively. You know, he can kind of hold things down at both ends of the ice. And, you know, even at 33, you know, he's proven that he can still play a top-pairing role on a cup-contending team. Now, you know, you talk about a guy entering his mid-30s, you never quite know what's going to happen. We've seen guys like Brent Seabrook, for example, take a downturn quickly. But at least in the short term, I don't know if there's anything under the hood with McDonagh that makes me too worried that that's going to happen anytime particularly soon.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going with it. So let's go there. As you said, his age, and, you know, there's certain things analytics can't tell us, right? You know, what shape their body is going to be in, and that's where I wanted to go. This is a guy, as you mentioned, he's played a lot of minutes. He's played a lot of games. There's a lot of miles in that body, and he sacrifices that body. We went down to Tampa yesterday. He blocks a lot of shots. He's done a lot of penalty kill, a lot of tough minutes in the league. You know, that's things that I guess probably the numbers can't play out. How much do you think that can affect a guy like him that's got the miles on the body like he has?
Well, it sure can, and it really, you know, it's up to the trainers to kind of figure out where that's going to go. I would imagine the Preds have done their due diligence. They feel pretty good about it, and I'll say this, you know, for as many minutes as he's played, and, you know, even with Victor Hedman ahead of him on the depth chart, he's still playing a huge number of minutes. You know, they don't have the most depth in the league. So a guy on their second pair is still playing what for most teams would be top-pairing minutes. And like you said, three very deep playoff runs, you know, kind of COVID-compressed seasons. And, you know, the good sign for me is that we don't really see a kind of downturn in his game. You know, he's kept it pretty steady the past couple of years as a really solid kind of top four, you know, maybe number three option, which is what the Predators need him to be. So, you know, if he was kind of on the downslope or maybe really showing some signs of age, then we could maybe be worried that he was going to take a sudden drop-off. But at the very least, you know, he's kept it steady even with the huge and taxing role that he's had.
You do a great job of, like, breaking down all three zones with him and his zone exits and, you know, his offensive contributions. What would you say right now, Jack, if you were just to pick one right now, what would you say the Predators are getting? What is his biggest strength, in your opinion?
Well, you know, he still has a great first pass. You know, he's a great transition player. He really carried a heavy load there in Tampa Bay, where they like to move the puck up with control. And he did it. You know, he ranked extremely well. It's probably the category that he ranks the best at, is in exiting the zone by passing the puck. And, you know, that's such a premium in the NHL. It's not something that necessarily will go super quick. You know, the legs will tend to go. You know, the skating can be an issue for veteran defensemen. But, you know, to still have the awareness and the poise and the puck skills to be able to make that first pass is still a premium for defensemen, and it's something that he's been able to keep steady throughout his career. So I think the Predators will be very happy about that.
We're talking to Jack Fraser, and you can follow him on Twitter at JFreshHockey. He's got some great stuff there. It's an excellent follow. Jack, I want to ask you, too, as you look at these percentiles, and you just kind of illustrated some of his strengths there for Ryan McDonagh, And you can picture him maybe on the second pair. It's almost like Tampa, where you had Victor Hedman with Jan Ruda, and then you had that shutdown pair, Eric Chernak with Ryan McDonagh. I think some Predator fans can envision a Matthias Ekholm, Ryan McDonagh second pair, where you got Roman Josi on the other pair, maybe with an Alex Carrier. So let's just maybe do a comparison, if you can. A Ryan McDonagh, how much of an upgrade do you think he is overall from a guy like Dante Fabro or even an Alex Carrier who's been in that top four?
Well, you know, based on what he's been in the past couple of years, I think he would be a fair upgrade. And, you know, look, you're talking about a four-year contract for a guy who's 33 years old. He might not be in that top four forever, you know, and Nashville, like you said, does have some young defensemen with a lot of skill who we can probably project to get up into that top four in the next couple of years. And once you do that, you know, you still might have a very solid guy to hold down your bottom pair, or injuries happen, be able to move up. So, you know, I think he's a guy who, based on his intelligence and his puck skills, you know, even if maybe he falls off from being that number three, number four guy, you know, I still think that gives the Predators some good options moving forward, you know, down their blue line as the young guys.
Let's hit on a couple other things that you've got going, Jack, because I think a lot of people right here in Nashville are looking at, okay, what does this do? 6.75 against the cap. You've got the Forsberg situation there. And then what else? You've got an interesting article about Jesse Puljujarvi up in Edmonton, a guy that was a high first-round pick. He has not blossomed there. It looks like the Oilers might be moving on. He's a guy that might have top six potential, who maybe you could get for a reasonable price. Tell me about the upside you think he has, and maybe how a new environment could invigorate him.
So this is going to sound like damning with faint praise, but Jesse Puljujärvi is about as good a hockey player as you can be while being a very poor shooter and a very poor passer, which those are two very important things for a forward, and he's not very good at them at all. You know, he's probably one of the worst passers in the NHL, to tell you the truth, among forwards, especially ones who play a top four role. And, you know, he was playing with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, two of the best playmakers on the planet, and he was still struggling to put the puck in the net. You know, that's a big deal, and that's probably why Edmonton wants to move him. But the other parts of his game are very strong. You know, even if he sometimes looks a bit awkward moving up the ice, he still does it pretty quickly, so you can't really complain about that. And, you know, he's 6'4", he's about 200 pounds, and he does use that physicality more than I think you would guess from hearing some people in Edmonton talk about him. He's a very active board player, very ferocious on the forecheck. You know, kind of looks like Valeri Nichushkin, like we saw in the playoffs. In that sense, you know, he's really willing to kind of do the dirty work on the line and help, you know, retrieve loose pucks for his line mates. And that's a big reason why, when you put him on the ice with Connor McDavid or you put him on the ice with Leon Draisaitl, those two players did better. You know, even if Puljujärvi wasn't the one racking up the points, every time McDavid or Draisaitl played with Puljujärvi, they did a little bit better and they produced a bit better. So, you know, even if he's not going to rack up points, and maybe if that does limit his upside quite a bit, I think he's still a very useful player, a kind of solid third wheel that you could put in the top six, which sit next to some very skilled players. Now, in Nashville, where maybe goal scoring and creativity is something that they're looking for a little bit more, I don't know if the fit would necessarily be there. But if the price is as low as it's rumored to be, and, you know, it doesn't really seem like he's going to be able to get a lot back, I think he's a guy that any team in the league would be able to find useful.
Very interesting profile there. What do you have on Forsberg? As you're looking at, we're all kind of trying to guess what he's going to get, what's he worth, all of these questions that go into when you're making a huge investment. 8 years, $8-plus million. How do you see his future in terms of the numbers that you have?
I mean, it's a risk. You look at a guy who's had a career year like that. You know, Forsberg has been a guy who's been very strong in the past, but he's never really been able to pass that, you know, 65-point good first-line level. And suddenly in a contract year, you know, as he's getting up there, he just drops a 40-goal and an 85-point season. I would be a little skeptical about dropping that amount of money on him. And that's not anything against Phil Forsberg, the player. I mean, you know, what I've always said about Forsberg is that he does everything well. You know, he's not one of those guys who's kind of a sniper specialist. He's not a guy who's a pure playmaker. You know, he really kind of every element of his game is, I think, well above average. And even as the points haven't always been there, you've always had that going under the hood. The only thing for me is really, you know, as, you know, what we know about how players tend to age, what we know about how contract year bumps tend to evaporate after the big money's been signed, I would be a little bit worried about, you know, whether he can remain at that elite level that he was this season, or whether you might end up with kind of a, you know, Matt Duchene or hopefully not a Ryan Johansson situation, where the player you end up with is a great player, but they're maybe not an $8.5 million one.
Gotcha. Okay, let's end on a lighter note. This is some serious analytics you guys did, Jack. You guys did a poll, most annoying fan base, and there was a team that won going away. Explain.
Yes, it would not shock very many people to know that the Toronto Maple Leafs pretty much swept the poll. Most annoying, most delusional, and by the furthest margin, most prone to meltdown over nothing. Which, as somebody who's lived in Toronto for the past 8 years but isn't a Leafs fan, I can say that that's true. My beer league locker room back in November when they lost, I think, 5 of 6 games, I was hearing a lot of fire the coach, fire the GM, trade Matthews, trade Marner. So I can vouch first person that at the slightest provocation, the Maple Leafs fans are happy to fulfill the prophecy of the survey.
Are you saying the numbers don't play out? If you get rid of Matthews, you get better? Are you saying that's the analytics don't show that?
Well, I might have to bring that back to my team, but we'll, I would guess probably not.
Probably not. May I ask who finished second?
So the Rangers had kind of a really big come up this year. I did this poll last year as well. Rangers were kind of nowhere to be seen. You know, suddenly the Rangers win a couple games, win a couple playoff runs, and apparently their fans really rub people the wrong way. So there is something to be said about how winning does apparently cause those bigger fan bases to cause some pain on the internet. But honestly, I think you'd rather be an annoying fan base that's winning rounds than an irrelevant one that nobody really cares about.
Okay, good stuff. Jack, really appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this. Have a great summer, and we'll talk to you down the road.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Jack Fraser from EP Ringside, at JFreshHockey on Twitter. We'll come back, discuss some things you heard right there. I thought that was interesting about Philip Forsberg. Also, really good stuff on Ryan McDonough. We'll do that to close out hour number one of the DDC. We'll do that next.